At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Welcome to VSiN's Long Shots. This is the WGC Dell Technologies Match Play Edition. Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin coming to you. Coming off a good week, we hit us a nice little 60-1 outright here, and hopefully we can keep things rocking and rolling as we head over to the match play.
Yeah, I like the we factor because it makes me feel like I accomplished something when I didn't accomplish jack squat.
There you go. Team Long Shots. Way to go.
We're a team, guys. We're a team. So we will we'll try to keep this thing rocking and rolling here as we head over to Austin. Of course, this event is going away. I hope they can figure out a way to bring back some sort of version of this, but I get it from a television standpoint. They're going to need to jazz it up a little bit, because as people get eliminated, this thing really does slow down to a crawl. So I imagine they will figure out a way to spice things up here. But it is 64 different players. We do have 16 different groups of four. It does go into bracket play once we get out of the group where there's round robin stuff that is going on here. But Wes, as you looked into, if you know, Austin Country Club, what were some of the stuff that you found here? What can you explain to people about heading over to Austin for this?
Yeah, this is kind of sad. I know it's a tough event, and we talked about this in the past. It's a tough event to bet, but I'm kind of sad to see it go away. This being the last year, it looks like Houston is going to be moved up to this spot in the schedule next year for 2024. But I like the match play. It's something different, you know, breaks a little of the monotony of the tour. But to the course, it's the Austin Country Club right there in Austin. Pete and Alice Dye designed it. Rod Whitman renovated a couple times in the mid-2010s. Par 71, 7,108 yards, one of the shorter courses that you're going to have on the PGA Tour. We've seen big hitters win here, like DJ, like Bubba Watson, but Kevin Kisner has also won here and also finished runner-up the year prior. So it's a positional and strategic type of course that I think favors accuracy over distance. You've got a lot of risk-reward match play holes, which I think makes the event really kind of fun to watch. First six holes are basically flat, and then the next 12 are in the hills, so you got a lot of undulations. You have some force carries over water. I think there are five water hazards on this course across seven water holes. A lot of bunkers here, by the way, 110 of them. That is the third most on the PGA Tour. Fairways are going to be Ryan Fescue overseed. This is usually Bermuda, but because the Bermuda is dormant this time of year, you get a lot of Ryan Fescue. Poa Trivalis overseed on the greens, about 12 on the stint meter, so average speed. Greens are small, 5,500 square feet. So on the front nine, this really plays like two different nines. Front nine is kind of hilly, a lot of uneven lies. And then the second nine, you get more of the water where it's more of a Lynxian feel, a lot of pot bunkers, wind also. It's a lot more exposed to wind on the back nine. Not a lot of high rough. It's only about 2.5 inches high. 400-yard par fours on this track. So if you're looking for, like, course correlations, Harbortown, TPC River Highlands, TPC Sawgrass, of course, those are die designs. PGA West Stadium, TPC San Antonio. So, you know, that's kind of what I was looking at for the course. All a variety of different type of players have won here. In fact, since this has been in Austin, the winners here have been Jason Day, Dustin Johnson, Bubba Watson, Kevin Kisner, Billy Horschel, Scottie Scheffler. So kind of runs the gamut of right. A lot of different players here.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is like almost every single style of play right there across the board. And Kelly, you and I were talking a little bit before we started recording here. I do want to see what you guys did from a modeling standpoint. I'll be honest, I didn't run any models this week because the numbers to me doesn't really matter all that much. I just kind of want to see what people look like the last 36, last 24-ish type of rounds. But from there, you know, listen, it really does kind of come out to who did they end up in a group with? How does the bracket tend to play out? Certainly from an outright perspective with all of that. And then also just the strategy of probably betting more of the more matchups and head-to-head things here this week than we really do all year long, right? I mean, really just kind of loading up the card with all of those. And so how much modeling, how much stuff did you do this week with that?
Yeah, I did. I do it every year still for this event, but I think what you're saying is also true where, look, do I weigh it into my handicap as much as I do on a normal week to week? No. I'll also just say up front, this is a week where I treat this a lot like the actual NCAA tournament too. We're all fire on more bets this week, but at much less amounts. Mm-hmm. This is not an event that I've traditionally had a ton of success in, but it's a fun event. I think it's a lot of fun to bet. I think it's a lot of fun to watch until, like you guys brought up, until it gets to the end where you're kind of like, all right, now I'm just watching like four guys golf. This is a little boring. But I did look at some stuff, and I think if you are modeling this week, it's ultra aggressive, right? We're talking about match play events. You're playing one guy. So what do I need? I need guys that are going to make birdies, right? So how do we make birdies? You know, it's hitting in the fairways. Like Wes brought up, you might not be able to take full driver off the tee every time here, but you need to hit fairways. You need to stick it onto the green and close to the pin and try to make your putts. So I think it's weighing stuff for me this week. I do some modeling, but it's way different than what I'm normally weighing each week, right? So I did heavy on approach. I did some good drive stuff and off the tee, but smaller. Strokes gained par five, heavier than what I normally do because you got to be able to score on those par fives. We've got those series of short par fours, so 350 to 400 yards on the par fours. Birdie or better gained and opportunities gained, way heavier than I would normally look at in an event. Want those guys that I feel confident in that can go out there and score. Bogey avoidance, and that's pretty much all I did. So that it's really just kind of give me a list of guys that I can sort kind of at the top pretty easily and at the bottom pretty easily. It allows me to kind of combine with what everything you just said, Matt, combine that into where I feel like guys really should stack as far as my kind of power rankings in the field.
Wes, how much modeling did you do this week and did it matter to you?
I didn't do modeling per se. What I did look at a few different stats though, just for some context, just like for some, you know, an extra case if it could be made for somebody. So I looked at approach, combination of fairways gained and good drives gained. I did a little bit of strokes gained putting because, look, that's going to be random here. You can get hot with a putter. And we've seen guys, you know, guys that are really good putters that maybe are less talented players have actually excelled here. Kevin Kisner, obviously, being exhibit A, B, and C. Billy Horschel, Matt Kuchar, Alex Noren. Those are the type of guys that you've seen them knock off some bigger names. And look, you will see as we get into these group and pool plays, at least two players, because there's an A group, a B group, a C group, and a D group, 1 through 16, 17 through 32, 33 through 48, 49 to 64, at least two players from the D group have advanced to the round of 16 every year at Austin Country Club. So you're going to get a couple chalks and you're going to get a couple bombs that advance to the knockout portion. I think there were eight players from the A group, eight of the top 16 advanced last year. That was the most ever for this format. So look, you know, when you look at some of the stats, it's going to be like a stroke play event. It's going to be like, okay, the same guys at the top. So going back to that, I did approach, fairways gain, good drives gain. I did a little strokes gain putting, bogey avoidance, a little scrambling as well. Strokes gain par four, 350 to 400. There's four of those holes on this course. But if you look at the course scorecard, they come at really, I think, crucial points. Number one, the first hole, because you want to get off to a really good start. And then also the fifth hole, if you run behind, the 10th hole is in that range. And then the par, and then the 18th is 368. So at really opportune times and really crucial times are where those strokes gain par four, 350 to 400 are. So I thought that that was going to matter. And then I did a little bit of strokes gain total just for context. Of course, is less than 7,200 yards. I didn't really go much with the Pete Dye angle, even though I did play a couple guys that are pretty good on Pete Dyes historically here.
Just to follow up real quick, Matt, on that point, I did see this. There's a good tweet from Rick Gaiman, who we all use his site. Love Rick. Was on a numbers game today, just as far as those top seeds advancing. So last year was eight, Wes. The year before, you had one that advanced. The 2020 COVID year, 2019, five, 2018, five, 2017, five, 2016, eight, and 2015, five. So, yeah, to your point, it's, you know, and if you add that all up like he did, that's 37 out of 112. So 33% of the time, roughly, over the history of this event, you know, go back to 2015 at least, it's a top seed actually advances.
Yeah, so there are going to be some fairly Dickinsons in this field, if you want to call them that. There are going to be some of those guys that are like 15 and 16 seeds that are going to advance in this thing. I think you've seen in more recent years, though, just looking by the recent winners, like Scotty Scheffler was the number five overall seed. Dustin Johnson, when he won, was the one seed. Jason Day, when he won, was the two seed in 2016. But you've also seen Billy Horschel was the 32 overall in 2021. Kevin Kisner was the 48 overall in 2019. Bubba Watson, the 35 overall in 2018. So, you know, when you're doing, if you're doing like a bracket challenge, you know, mix it up a little bit. Don't be afraid to, you know, go against some of these top 16.
Guys, we're going to do a little bit of a different format this week. We're just going to go group by group. So I think it'll make it a little bit easier for you if you do want to, you know, get on some of these bets that we are on. We'll just kind of go 1 through 16. We'll talk about how that would break up in the actual bracket itself as we move along, too. But before we get into that, if you don't mind, hit that pause button, go down. Give us a 5-star review. If you want to do a 4, that's fine. We prefer a 5. And leave a comment in there. You know, like, yeah, don't go any lower than a 4. If you're going to do a 3, then don't. Just keep listening. If you're going to do a 3, just keep rolling. Yeah, don't bother. If you're going to do a 3, don't bother. Just keep going. Like, we're not worried about it.
But, if you go 4, let us know what we can do better.
Yeah,
how about that?
So just,
you know
what I mean? Leave us a little comment in there. Do appreciate that. We're getting more listeners than ever on the podcast here, and do appreciate all the support you guys are giving us. Absolutely free to just hit that subscribe button and hit that little 5-star rating, which does help us climb the chart. So do appreciate that a ton. So as we go down the betting odds, the outright betting market, and we will talk about this as we go along the way, but Scotty Scheffler is your betting favorite over DraftKings 8-1. Rory is at 11, and so is John Rahm. Then a pretty big jump all the way to Cantlay at 18, and Finau, Max Homa at 20, Xander's at 25, as is Victor Hovland, as is Tyrrell Hatton, as is Jordan Spieth. You get to Will Zalatoris at 28, Colin Morikawa at 28, Jason Day 28. And then you get into game names that are certainly household names here, but they're all going to be 30 or longer, and your Cam Youngs, Matt Fitzpatrick, Sung JMs, et cetera, of the world. Maybe some guys that haven't been playing necessarily all that great and have seen their odds kind of shift just a little bit. So let's kick things off here, guys, in group number one. And as we take a look at group number one, Scotty Scheffler, Tom Kim, Alex Noren, Davis Riley. I don't know if we have to have a ton of conversation here about all this. Look, I think we all like Tom Kim as a player, but Scotty Scheffler is now moved himself into a group almost all of his own. His consistency that he continues to put out there. Of course, the defending champion at this, I'm not going to try and talk anybody off of betting Scotty Scheffler to win this group. If you all want to have, if y'all have a case for any of these other guys, go right ahead. But Scotty seems like the clear class of this group to me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I'm not necessarily going to bet against him, Scotty Scheffler, in the group. However, his opening round match, by the way, on Wednesday, is against Davis Riley. Interesting angle here. These two met actually in the finals of the 2013 U.S. Junior Amateur. And Riley called a penalty on himself that clinched the match for Scotty Scheffler back there in 2013. So Davis Riley's about a $2 underdog. He played pretty solid at the Valspar. Didn't play good enough for my case, having bet him last week. But that's an interesting match, I think. One of the more interesting matches on day one, if you're looking at it. I think he wins the group. And you were talking about Tom Kim as well, Matt. Alex Noren probably is the dark horse. He is a very good match play player. He's 11-5 all time here at Austin Country Club. Actually had one of the better win percentages here, 14-7. Because I did in my column, which you'll get at VSiN.com here in a couple hours, I did overall match play record and Austin match play record. Overall, of course, includes President's Cup, Ryder Cup, any of the DP World Tour type match play events. And this is not the easiest group for Scotty Scheffler, but he's really hard to get in front of right now.
Yeah, this is, I mean, Scheffler is my top rated guy this week. I think that's no surprise to anybody. But one bet I do have in this is, I hear you on Noren, but man, it's been a rough 2023 at least so far for him. Three missed cuts and a 61st at the API. I bet Tom Kim in a matchup first round against him, minus 135. I'm interested to see what Tom Kim can do in a format like this. I think that there's, you know, he's a guy where I haven't gotten as excited about him, I think, as some people have over the past year. But I think this might be an interesting format with a guy that a little less experience. There's nothing to be, I mean, you got nothing to lose when you're a guy kind of in his shoes, right? So he would be the one that I would have my eye out for Scheffler, maybe chasing him down and maybe causing him some problems in this group. But man, I think Scheffler's probably safe for the group overall. But as far as first round matchups in this one, I do have a Tom Kim over Alex Noren matchup bet.
Group number two is, I'm sure when John Rahm saw this one come out, he was none too thrilled. Group number two, John Rahm, the number two overall seed, gets Billy Horschel, a former winner of this event, gets Keith Mitchell, who's playing some of the best golf that he's played in his career right now, and Ricky Fowler, who's also playing some of the best golf of his career over the last 5 years. And so, guys, we take a look. This group, this was a complete stay away for me in this one, because honestly, if any one of the four guys in this group made it out, I would be absolute. I'd be like, yeah, okay, it makes perfect sense. Ricky Fowler's on fire. The guy's just a top 15 machine right now. Keith Mitchell is not only can bomb it, but he can bomb it straight. You got Billy Horschel, who might be the most annoying person maybe ever to play a match play event against. So, like, I honestly think the psychology of that comes into this a little bit. You know, I mean, the guy takes 5 minutes to hit every single putt and all this. Like, you're probably sitting over there going, let's go, bro. Let's do this. You know, like, what's going on? And then, of course, you have John Rahm, you know, one of the top three players in the world. So I actually almost instantly kind of scratched this group off. I don't know if you guys have anything going on here. Kelly, how did you see group two?
No, I'm completely with you. Look, I still think it's Rahm. I think it's Rahm. There weren't. It's so tough with him where, like, you're absolutely right. I think I wouldn't be surprised if any four of these guys win this group, but the odds still aren't long enough on the other three guys for me, as far from a group betting perspective, to really get me there on a bet to take over Rahm. So I'm with you. It was a pretty easy move on from when I saw it.
Yeah, Wes, when you look at this, I mean, I it's like a former champion and then, you know, two guys that are playing really, really solid golf right now. And I mean, it's like it's, you know, I understand why John Rahm is the short shot here in this one and is still a big betting favorite. But I guess my question to you would be is, if Ricky figured out a way to make it out of this group, I don't think any of the three of us would be surprised.
Yeah, I think this is absolutely one of the more top-end beatable favorites in this field. That would have sounded absurd to say a month ago, but look, Billy Horschel has won this thing. Keith Mitchell has beaten Ian Poulter in match play. He was like one of the match play gods, beat him here. I think it was last year or the year before. And Ricky Fowler, by the way, who gets John Rahm in the first round, and Ricky Fowler is only about $1.45 underdog. I was hoping for more because I do kind of like Ricky here. Because yeah. Ricky, by the way, if he reaches the quarterfinals, he gets in the top 50 in the world, which means he gets that Masters invite. And if he doesn't do that, he's got to win that down in San Antonio at the Valero next week to be in the field in Augusta National. But Ricky hasn't played a lot here. I think he only has the one appearance here at Austin, but obviously a pretty good match play record for his career, 12-8-5 in singles matches. So, you know, that's taking points in 17 of your 25 matches, albeit you don't get a point here. It's just, you know, you get it in group play, but then you got to go to the bracket play once you get the knockout. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised if anybody, I would not be betting John Rahm though to win this group. I think take your chances with any one of the other three guys.
I'm with you 100% on that. That group just seems like a pretty easy fade for me, and I'll just start betting head to heads once we get out of that group. Group three: Roy McIlroy, Keegan Bradley, Denny McCarthy, and Scott Stallings. As you would imagine, Roy McIlroy, the overwhelming betting favorite to come out of that group, but you do have a couple of at least interesting angles outside of the blow up that we got from Keegan 2 weeks ago. Keegan Bradley had been playing really, really good, and then of course, you have the Denny McCarthy factor here, Wes, like you were mentioning when you were talking about the course breakdown. Not a lot of putting stats that we think are very sticky because they can go hot and cold, except for Denny McCarthy, who just putts good every year, everywhere, mm-hmm. all over the place, and is literally one of the top 10 putters that there is. And so if he is actually just keeping it somewhat close to the hole, I mean, with that flat stick of his, he could beat any of these guys, I think, in any matchup. I think he's at least kind of the dark horse if I was to pick one to kind of come out of this group.
Yeah, look, I think McCarthy would be the only guy I would consider out of this group besides Rory. I can't go with Keegan Bradley. He is 1-12-6 in singles matches all time, so I can't go with him. Scott Stallings, not a ton of experience here. So, and also McIlroy apparently has been experimenting with some equipment adjustments, some different putters, some different drivers. So he's not really quite at his peak right now. So if you're going with the long shot, it would only be McCarthy for me in group three.
Yeah, I could, I mean, you know me, Keegan. if I had to pick someone here, it'd be Keegan. I know the record. I'm staring at it right now, Wes. I know the match play record. I know that there are people out there that would say Keegan takes all this stuff way too seriously when he gets to this point, and that might be hurting him a little bit. I like you said, Matt, I see a guy who's still playing. You know, he's playing some of the best golf he's played in his entire career. Rory absolutely is still in that top three, but if there's any of those three that I'm becoming a little bit more concerned about as the season goes on, it's Rory. I mean, you add in Keegan, you add in Denny, Scott Stallings even at points, you know, over the past year. I mean, we've certainly thrown away some money on him trying to chase down bets. You know, first round leaders, I think he's hit once for me. So I think this guy could spike. Not a lot. The other thing to point out for Denny and Scott, though, not a lot of experience here. None, in fact, right? Mm. So I think this is an interesting one. If I had to pick one guy out of this group, guys, it would be Keegan Bradley. I know, look, he's played some of the best golf of his career right now. Matt brought that up earlier. You know, we went over these stats. Wes, you kind of went through all the stats for all the match play records and even the ones here at Austin Country Club. Talking about 1-12-6, 0-3-6 here at Austin Country Club. I know I'm kind of going against that stuff, and I have not bet anything with Keegan this week. But if I did have to pick one guy to upset Rory, I'd actually be going with him over Denny.
Yeah, and well, I mean, he's in solid form. I think he's played better than he's played in recent years. But, you know, you talked about the fact that he gets kind of emotional in this type of thing. I go back to 2015. I think it was the last year they didn't have it in Austin. It was in Harding Park in San Francisco. And he was playing in a match with Miguel Angel Jimenez back in 2015. And Jimenez apparently pointed out that he needed to take the two club lengths before dropping his ball for the relief. It didn't go over well. I don't think it's the same caddy, but Keegan Bradley's caddy, known as Pepsi, Stephen Hale is his name, was like, you know, Miguel, I guess, was kind of like, hey, you know, get out of this. You know, this is between me and him. And Bradley gets in Miggy's face and goes, don't tell him to shut up. And, you know, just got like really emotional. And Bradley ended up going 0-3 that year in the match play. So, I mean, the record is, I mean, you got to stomach it if you want to play it for the record. But McCarthy would be the one if I was looking, even though I think I'm not really totally confident with Rory right now, but it's hard to go against him in this group.
If we head to group four, this is the group where I saw kind of a clear advantage for one of the guys here, and curious to see what y'all think. But Patrick Cantlay heads this one up. Brian Harman, KH Lee, and then Nick Taylor. Listen, Brian Harman comes out of that second group, but he is in awful form right now. And then you look at Nick Taylor and KH Lee, who certainly I think could pose at least a little bit of a threat to Patrick Cantlay. But this was the one group that I looked at when everything was announced, and it was the first bet that I made, which was Cantlay to come out of group four. It just seemed the path to victory here for Cantlay seemed pretty easy comparatively to a lot of these other top seeds, just the way that things broke down. I mean, he got a guy in the group of two in Brian Harman who might be playing the worst out of anyone in that group, you know, right now. And then you, of course, the group three, group four guys. So I do have the bet. So my first one on the card is Cantlay to come out of group four. What say you, Wes?
Yeah, ditto for me. Mm-hmm. And he would be one of my outrights too, because I tried to pick one in each quadrant, you know, because you can't really go that deep with only 64 players in the field. But if you remember back in 2021, Cantlay actually beat Harman in a match, but did not advance out of the group because they were tied. So they had to go to extra holes, and Harman beat him in a sudden death playoff on the second hole back in 2021 to advance out of the group. So if you look at Patrick Cantlay's record, by the way, here, it is very solid. I think he's 6-4-2 all time here at the Austin Country Club. And yet Patrick Cantlay has never advanced to the round of 16. He's always been, you know, I 1 year, I think he got beat by Tiger, and, you know, he's always been in second. He's never been worse than second in his group. 6-4-2, 8-5-2 overall match play record. So this is a guy that I think has a better record than like his results would indicate. So Patrick Cantlay, I thought that this was probably one of the easier groups or one of the chalky players.
I completely agree, fellas. That's why it is a pod play.
Pod play.
Well, the last time we had this on Patrick Cantlay, it worked out so swimmingly. So we're going to try it again.
Yeah. Going back to the well with Cantlay here.
No, I really can't add any more than what you guys just said. Yeah. It was, like you said, Matt, this was the first one where I was like, okay, Cantlay, who I've got rated very, I mean, as far as recent form goes, Patrick Cantlay is way up there for me. I mean, definitely in that top five of golfers in the world right now. So it was Cantlay, and then I'm like, okay, scrub. Okay, now I think I'm good. I'm going to bet this. And fair warning, as we go through these, you're going to see I'm fairly chalky on some of these. But yes, Cantlay, that one jumped out immediately to me.
According to Data Golf, by the way, outside of Scottie Scheffler, Cantlay is the biggest favorite to win his group, according to their numbers over there as well. So they also kind of along the same lines as us, thinking that Cantlay is the class of that group. So I do like Cantlay a ton there in that one. Group number five, Max Homa, Hideki Matsuyama, Kevin Kisner, and Justin Suh. They didn't do Max Homa any favors here. Of course, you have Hideki, who falls into that group of two because of a little bit of dip in play. And then you have Kevin Kisner, a former winner here, and then Justin Suh, a guy who's on the up and up. So Max Homa did not get any favors in this one. Kelly, I'm going to spoil this because I know that you told me before we started, you only have a couple of outrights, but Mr. Homa is one of them.
Yeah, he is. This is where the style of this format of this event gets wonky, right? Where I have Max Homa as an outright, where I bet him 22-1, and I like that as an outright number, but this group is tough. This is not an easy group for him. So I didn't do anything as far as a group bet for him. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to, the only liability I want to have is, okay, if he manages to get out of the group, then I've got a great number on him as he heads into that final 16, right? So that was kind of my thinking along those lines. But man, I think you could make an argument for, you know, almost any of the guys in this group if you're looking for an upset here. Mm-hmm. This is kind of the exact opposite of some of the ones we just talked about, especially the Cantlay one. I mean, you know, another pod play didn't do so well. Justin Suh last week for us. Yeah. I mean, we all loved him a week ago. I know this is going to be his first time here, but he's kind of at the bottom here. Hideki Matsuyama, obviously a ton of experience, and when he's on his game, one of the best approach players on the planet. You know, and Kevin Kisner with, a great match play record, 22-8-2, 22-6-1 at this event. I think you could make a case for nearly any of these guys. So that's why I kind of stayed away and probably will as the first 3 days go on from almost doing anything with this group. But I did just take more of the outright price on Homa.
And I get that. Like, Wes, we take a look at this group, and I mean, look, I think Hideki or So went in this group, we would understand. Kisner, despite the fact that his match play record is so great, he is in maybe the worst form of any player in this entire field. If you look over the last 24 and 36 rounds, he is losing everywhere. Like total off the tee, approach, ball striking, around the green, putting, tee to green. He's losing everywhere. So he is maybe in the worst form of anybody that actually made it into this tournament here. But I mean, listen, Hideki, we know at any point could certainly turn it around. And we all like Seo last week because he was kind of on the up and up. And look, he made the cut. He just kind of faded and all that. And then, of course, we know what Max Homa is capable of. So pretty interesting group for sure.
Yeah, Hideki looked great in the final round at Sawgrass. So, you know, if the fitness concerns are assuaged, then yeah, he's absolutely a threat here. This is his sixth event in a row. So I wonder if maybe a little bit of fatigue could wear in, especially for a younger player that might not be. You would think, okay, it'd be easier for the younger player, but sometimes they're not used to that schedule. You know, it's like a college basketball kid, you know, now moving up to the NBA and playing NBA minutes, often playing more games. All of a sudden fatigue sets in and you hit that wall a little bit. But I think Homa should advance here. Kisner, by the way, in his first match on Wednesday against Matsuyama is like almost $1.50 underdog. You don't get that. You usually get a little bit of a price break on Kevin Kisner because he's 22-6-2 here. And by the way, that's his overall match play record because every year he does well at this event. And it's like, okay, we got to put this guy in the Ryder Cup team. We got to put this guy in the Ryder Cup team. But this is the only play. I mean, if the Ryder Cup is at Austin Country Club, yes. But it's in Rome this year in Marco Simone Golf Club. So I don't think he's ever won a match there. I mean, there's just so many players ahead of him.
Get him, Wes. No, and I'll back up what you said, man. Yes, I wanted to point out his match play record, but he is, as far as the modeling that I did, last 12, last 24, last 36 rounds, he is last in the field in my model at Fantasy National. And then Rick Rungood, he is second last in the field.
Yeah, he is in horrible, horrible form right now. So I don't know if he would be worthy of any sort of bet. I think he's an obvious fade in this one. Group number six, Xander Schauffele, Tom Hoge, Aaron Wise, and Cam Davis. Of course, the betting favorite would be Xander Schauffele. And then you take a look at some of these other players in which kind of up and down. Now, Wes, this is what's the interesting thing about match play, because you have two guys in this group, and I guess you could even throw Cam Davis in there, who are super highly volatile in Tom Hoge and Aaron Wise. But but volatility actually plays in match play because like a blow up hole doesn't really matter to you. You know, like it's fine. You make an eight on a hole, who gives a shit? Like, move on and like you go to the next you go to the next hole. It doesn't matter. Like, an eight in a normal tournament and it completely sets you back, right? And so I do look at a Hoge and a Wise, and like I said, to a lesser extent, even Cam Davis, and say, look, yes, Xander is by far the class of this group, but we do have some guys that can just kind of run hot and are scorers for sure. And the blow-up holes that typically keep them away from winning tournaments doesn't affect them near as much in a match play format.
Yeah, and Xander, despite the fact he's got a winning record, I guess, if you don't include the ties, I think he's 5-4-3 here at Austin, 7-5-3 overall. But he's a beatable favorite. He's never been to the round of 16. He's never really made a big run in this type of event. Hoge, you know, even though we didn't do a lot of modeling, obviously, if you look at the approaches and stuff like that, good drives gained, he is right up there near the top. So he certainly fits in that regard. So this is a weird group where I don't really like anybody. So I guess if you don't like anybody, take what you think are one of the longer shots in this one. I'm not going to be betting Xander to advance out of the group, even though he very well could.
This is a big group for me, boys. I have a lot of bets in this group, actually. A lot of things you guys just talked about. Cameron Davis, he had that horrible stretch, but he talked about battling that illness. We saw him bounce back at the Players in post you know, post to, what was it, sixth, I believe, is where he finished there. So I'm first round matchups. I took a plus 165 over Xander. I thought that number was just a little high, especially comparing it, shopping around, comparing it to the rest of the marketplace. So I did take a chance there with the dog, in the first round matchup on with that one. And then also first round matchup, I went Hoagie over Aaron Wise for a lot of the reasons that you're talking about, Wes. Well, I think Wise kind of struggling a bit with his game right now. Hoagie, meanwhile, really, really consistent on his approach play, which I think is something to capitalize on. So nothing for me as far as advancing from this group right now, but first round matchups, I'm involved in all four guys in this group.
Yeah, I mean, if we take a look, I mean, we talk about embracing kind of the variance here, and you know, Tom Hoagie over the last, for what it's worth, right, over the last 24 rounds of in this field, as far as opportunities gained, he's seventh overall in opportunities gained. He's fourth overall in eagles gained and stuff like that. And again, like, that's the type of stuff that, and again, I have not yet played Hoagie, and I don't know if I will. I still think Xander is much better than all of these guys, but like, those are the type of stuff that jumps off the page to me where I'm like, okay, he's at least putting himself in these situations. And then those holes where Tom Hoagie makes you want to break your television because you have an outright on him and he like just, you know, makes a snowman, it doesn't matter, you know, like it doesn't matter at this for, so
yep.
Something for me anyway, maybe I'm Hoagie.
Yeah, the only thing, so I'll even add on to that just for the other end of it with Aaron Wise, right? Like, strokes gained approach last 24 rounds, he sits 61st in this field. Yeah, I mean, like that's how bad he's been playing recently. And some of the stuff that he does, like some of the stuff he has been doing well at, it's stuff that you don't want here. It's scrambling around the green, stuff like that. Okay, if you're going to be scrambling and playing around the green too much, like, he's probably not winning many of these holes. So yeah, that's where I really like that one. It's one of my favorite first round matchups.
Group number seven, Will Zalatoris, Ryan Fox, Harris English, and Andrew Putnam. And talking about the chalk here, Kelly, I did chalk this. Look, I think Zalatoris has kind of gotten over this stuff that was ailing him. He said he's healthy. Some of his play has shown that he is healthy as well. I'm not going to bet him to win the whole tournament because I do wonder if, you know, having to play. That's the other thing about this, right? I mean, like, you play a ton of matches if you actually win this thing. So,
to grind,
you know, maybe the health and the stuff that was bothering him could creep in a little bit over the course of a tournament, but making it out of the group, I mean, listen, y'all know I bet Ryan Fox a couple of different times this year, but I think if you look at Zalatoris, at the number we're getting at nearly 2-1 on Zalatoris to win this group, I think that the number is far too high on a guy that, again, a year ago we would have, you know, put in one of the top five, you know, we'd have considered him a top five player, you know, in the world, right? And yes, he's battled some injuries and had to deal through some of that other stuff, but Zalatoris for me in this one, this was the second bet that jumped off the page to me. Wes, when you see here, I mean, look, we know what Putnam is all about. I guess the question here is, could you find yourself on the upside of a Harris English or a Ryan Fox if everything happens to be going right for them one day?
I don't know if I can do so with Harris English. I guess, you know, he could advance. Any one of these four, I think, actually could advance. But Harris English, I mean, all we really saw out of him was a very good performance at Bay Hill. You know, we don't have anything like in addition to that. And then we look at, you know, Andrew Putnam. Look, he's a guy that can get hot with the putter. He's always up there in the putting stats. So that's why I can't discount him. Zalatoris is the class act. You know, are there still fitness concerns? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But I would go with the guy, actually, and I might be interested. I want to see how high of a price I can get. And I know he doesn't have a lot of match play experience, but Ryan Fox could be really interesting here. He's a player that probably a lot of bettors that just bet PGA Tour don't really know about. And you know, I bet him fairly frequently on the DP World Tour. He was 14th at the Arnold Palmer. He was 27th at the Sawgrass. This guy's number 34 in the world. Mm-hmm. And I think he can absolutely surprise here. So, you know, I haven't decided if I'm going to bet this yet.
Right.
So I'm not dead set against Will Zalatoris, but Ryan Fox would be the one I think would be worth a poke if you're going against the favorite in this group.
Yeah, I was getting close on Zalatoris here, but I haven't made anything in this group. any kind of bets whatsoever. I ultimately decided I'm gonna kind of wait and see Zalatoris, and I'll kind of just play him round to round as he goes. But yeah, I mean, can't disagree. I can't disagree. He's the class of this group for sure. The numbers probably fair, but I have no problem. It's one of these things that I love about this event that you can do so easily do that, right? It's okay, fine. I'm just going to skip them pre-tournament and, you know, jump in live, you know, as they go matchup to matchup.
Yeah. So heading to group eight, Victor Hovland, Chris Kirk, Siwoo Kim, and Matt Kuchar. Guys, I do have a bet in this one as well. So I have, you know, been betting a lot of these group bets, and I bet Siwoo Kim. And this is one of those deals where, listen, we have seen with Siwoo, if you look at the course history over the course of his, you know, career, we've seen a guy that has played well on these Pete Dye courses before. We know that Siwoo has a couple of wins on these Pete Dye courses. And if you go in and you kind of take a look, I don't know if he is that far off from really any of these other guys in this group and be able to get nearly 3-1 on Siwoo to advance out of this group at plus 285 was a little bit too good for me to pass up. Now, is Hovland the best player in the group? He is, for sure, but we've seen Siwoo and the upside of a Siwoo, and also the outright bet for me on Siwoo Kim. Ooh. I'm a little less enthusiastic about him actually being able to win this thing as I am just the number attached at 70-1 on him, because the game is there, right? I mean, like, the game for Siwoo is certainly there. We talk about these dudes that have these blow up holes. He is the, like, he's in the top. He would be one of the first round draft picks of guys that, like, has blow up holes that put them out of contention in four round tournaments. But again, this is, like, less of a concern here in match play format. So I took Siwoo out of this group and also took an outright on Siwoo. Wes, what do you think here about group eight?
Yeah, this is actually, I would have liked Victor Hovland coming in this event until I saw this draw, because, you know, for everything that you said about Siwoo, by the way, very good history on Pete Dye's, very sneaky history on Pete Dye's. I think like three of his four wins were on Pete Dye design, so I'm not discounting him. You can't really discount one of the best players in this match play field based on record, and that's Matt Kuchar, 16-5-4 here. You know, and he's in a lot better form than he was, you know, last year where he made the semifinals, made the final in 2019. He is just a dead-eye putter, as is Chris Kirk here. Now, Kuchar, by the way, needs a little bit of a run here because he's trying to get in the Masters, obviously, in the adopted home state of Georgia, but Kirk, you know, has a solid match play record. Not a lot of matches, 6-4 overall, 3-2 here at Austin. So, yeah, I think Hovland probably, I'm with you, Matt, that he is a beatable favorite here at plus 165, and I'm not necessarily going to bet him, even though I think he's starting to show some good signs with his game. Certainly did at the Players Championship, where he ended up getting up T3 there in the final round, but it'd be one of the dogs I would go with here. I haven't decided which one yet.
Yeah, this is the, I almost did the opposite thinking of, or not, or the different thinking from Wes of, I was looking forward to playing Siwoo in this event, but I thought this group was pretty brutal that he got stuck in. So he would definitely still be my pick, but I didn't get there on a bet on him at least yet. If I had to pick someone, I do think he would be the nice upset pick here, but I think you can make arguments for, you know, all four guys. I think this is a tough group that he kind of got stuck in.
Yeah. And one thing to mention, it is certainly not the easiest route for Siwoo either. Just to kind of put that out there. He would have to, he is in the Scheffler side. That said, Scheffler would have to win two matches before Siwoo got to him. So Scheffler would have to make it out of the group, and then Scheffler would have to win a head-to-head as well. So I assume Scheffler will do that, but again, that's something that would have to play out as well. So, you know, I'm not just going to hand everything to Scheffler here. This is kind of a wonky format. So not the easiest route there, but 70-1 was just a little bit too much for me to pass on there. Guys, as we do each and every week, just because it's match play and just because we have changed the format of this show does not mean that we are not going to go around the world with Russ Reynolds. We are going to do that when we come back after this short break.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties, and they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
And we are back talking the WGC Dell Technologies Match Play Championship. But before we get into groups 9 to 16, let's head around the world with Wes Reynolds.
Yeah, and we head down south to the Dominican Republic for the alternate event for the PGA Tour. That is the Corrales Punta Cana Championship, former Corn Ferry event, now a PGA Tour event. Corrales Golf Club, 7,670-yard, par 72, Tom Fazio design. So, you know, relatively easy to score upon. 17-under was the winner. There are some tricky ones, though. The back nine is a lot more difficult than the front nine. The wind can expose. But, you know, it's a coastal course. It's like El Camaleon, Grand Reserve, the Plantation course at Kapalua. So those are correlated courses. Chad Ramey, by the way, the defending champ here last year, won at 50-1. Joel Damon, same price in 2021, won here at 50-1. So, you know, took a few shots with this. First guy I played is a guy that actually plays well in these coastal events, Ben Martin, 30-1. Third in strokes gained ball striking last 24 rounds. Second here last year, ninth in 2021. Also has a third in Puerto Rico and another 14th in Puerto Rico. So he plays very well. These are Paspalum greens, and Paspalum really all the way through the course. So there is something to that. Ben Martin has played well in those events. Eric Van Rooyen, 35-1, top 10 last week at the Valspar, third on approach in the field last week. Also has putted well on this Paspalum before. He was third in the Mexico Championship in 2020, won the alternate event at the Barracuda up in Tahoe in 2021. Dylan Wu, 50-1, five straight cuts he's made dating back to Pebble Beach. T10 at the Honda was his best finish. He's played well in these events that are on the Corn Ferry Tour in these kind of subtropical climates. Second in Bahamas, 18th also in the other event in the Bahamas, 7th in Panama, so could go well here. MJ Duffy, 55-1, four straight cuts, T19 at the Valspar last weekend, but he's 4 for strokes gained off the tee over the last 24 rounds and third in the category last week in the Valspar field. Andrew Novak, 65-1. He was 11th here last year. He's 4th off the tee last week at the Valspar, where he finished 27th. And then the bombs, Cody Gribble, 80-1. Back-to-back 7th place finishes. 7th in Puerto Rico. He's the best driver in the field. 4th in ball striking. Also, same thing at the Valspar. He was 7th last week. 5th in driving in the field. 25th on approach. 5th in putting. He could go very well here. And then Trevor Werbilo, 150-1, if I didn't butcher that pronunciation, has made 6 straight cuts, 27th last year at the Valspar, 11th tee to green. That was his best ball striking performance of the season. He's only 24 years old. This guy actually was a really highly rated amateur and turned pro when he was like 20 and just has not gotten his career going. But look, this is a weaker field. You get a lot of older veterans that don't get into a lot of PGA Tour fields anymore that do get into a field like this. So a lot of weakness at the bottom. But we haven't really seen a lot of chalk win this event. It's been a lot of mid-range guys around 50-1 on average.
So as we head on here into group number 9, group number 9 is the number one seed you find in Colin Morikawa. Jason Day, though, in the group of 2 here, Adam Svensson and then Victor Perez. I look at this, if we look at the numbers here, there's not much of a gap between Morikawa and Day from a betting perspective, fellas. And Kelly, I see you shaking your head, and it leads me to believe you might like Jason Day in this one.
No. It's exactly what you're saying. There's just not much of a gap. Mm-hmm. I think that there's, like, if you have strong conviction on one of those two guys, go for it. I think you're getting a good number because of how well Jason Day's playing, right? If you want to tell me you're betting Colin Morikawa this week because you think that number is a bit juicier than it probably should be because of how well Day's been playing, go for it. You want to bet Jason Day because you want to tell me he's one of the hottest golfers on the planet right now and you're getting plus 190 on him, go for it. I do think it's one of those two, though, that comes out of this group, and I'm not really interested in anything else here. I might just be picking on the rest of these guys in the rest of this group in daily matchups.
Wes, we look at this. It would also mention whoever advances here, be it Morikawa, Day, Svensson, or Perez, they are also in the Scheffler quadrant. Mm-hmm. So it's worth mentioning at least.
Yeah, it certainly is. And this is actually my second outright bet. I did bet Jason Day at 33-1. I also bet him plus 210 to win the group. And Morikawa was, doesn't have a great match play record, but I think he's going to win pretty soon. I don't know if it's going to be this week. I was kind of looking at him this week, before the draw came out on Monday morning. This is a tough group, by the way, with Morikawa, with Adam Svensson, who doesn't have a lot of experience in this event, has actually been playing very solid on the Florida swing like he usually does. And then Victor Perez. Now, Perez I hit actually earlier this year in Abu Dhabi, and he did go back to 2021. He did reach the semifinals here. He had kind of an easy group, though. He had Mark Leishman, Russell Henley, and Sun J.M., and Victor Perez beat Leishman, beat M., lost 4-3 to Russell Henley, but he ran it all the way. Beat Robert McIntyre, beat Sergio Garcia, and then lost to Billy Horschel in the semifinals back in 2021. So he's certainly a capable match play player, and I think he's kind of a guy on the precipice of being on the Ryder Cup team this year, because there's going to be some spots with some of the live defections. Mm-hmm. So Victor Perez, now I think he's in pretty good shape, having won a really good field against a really good field in Abu Dhabi. So you can't underestimate him. But Jason Day, just to me, he is starting to play, I think, the best golf that he has played since he was the world number one in 2016. He was 19th at the Players, but I think he had like three top tens in a row. He's actually won here. He won the inaugural event actually here in Austin, and then won a previous one at Dove Mountain. So he is a two-time winner, trying to become a three-time winner of this event. The concern with Day is usually his fitness, but we haven't seen those injuries pop up yet this year. Now, I'm always worried that, okay, I get all in on Jason Day, and all of a sudden he's going to have a back issue.
Right.
Because that has happened, numerous times before. But he won this in 2016, won it in 2014 at Dove Mountain. I think it was over Louis Oosthuizen in the final, if memory serves me correctly. But Jason Day, just to me, even though I think Morikawa is a better match play player than his record is going to indicate, just not a lot of reps necessarily, 3-3-3 overall. I like Jason Day this week.
Yeah, I have a very unfair handicap of this group where I would be betting Day, or I think maybe even Perez before I would bet Morikawa. I feel like there is a certain mentality and certain kind of like attitude that is needed maybe in some of these type of content. And like Collins just is like that, just mild mannered, super nice guy, like doesn't ever say anything like whatever. And I don't know. I feel like there is an advantage to be had. Like there's a reason why guys like Billy Horschel has had success, repeatedly here and things. Cause it's like, there's a little bit of a psychological aspect to it.
Well, emotion plays into it. Morikawa is very, very cerebral in terms of the way he plays. Doesn't really show a lot of emotion or fire all the time. And sometimes that's what you need. And that's, that's why Ian Poulter was such a great match play player.
Right.
Because he has that in him.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Group 10, Tony Finau, Kurt Kitayama, Adrian Meronk, and then Christian Bezuidenhout. This is a very, very interesting group because you look and you say like, oh, this should obviously just be Finau. Like, oh, I mean, like, what are you talking about? But we've seen Kitayama play very well of late. We have talked about Meronk on this very podcast because if you don't follow the rest of world stuff, this is a guy that has been playing well rest of world. And then we get this, and then we get Christian Bezuidenhout, who, by the way, would be a first round guy, of a guy who can put together three rounds and then enter a fourth round and then have two holes that just absolutely derail his chances of winning a tournament. And he ends up like somehow T15 whenever he was like, in second place for a tournament. But again, doesn't factor in as much for a tournament like this. Doesn't really come into my, handicapping when it comes to this, because again, I just want these guys with a lot of upside. I think this is a group with a lot of upside here, Wes, and I know Finau is the name brand in this one, but I think us who follow this a little bit more closely, I think maybe should kind of say, it's not so fast there on Tony Finau in this group.
Yeah, on paper, this should be a runaway for Tony Finau. But if you look really at his form, not the greatest here. I don't really love him at this course. He's never made the round of 16. And look, he's going against guys that are obviously very erratic. I mean, Bezuidenhout has never even won a match here. I think he's 0-5-1 in six matches, bottom of the group both times he's played here. Kurt Kitayama, obviously, he's a very high variance player, can be very wild at times. And then Adrian Meronk, his last round he shot was an 81. So it's like, oh my God, how can you back these guys? But I think Finau, just at this course, is kind of a weak favorite, even though he's been in relatively solid form. Nothing great, but pretty good at least. But I don't know if pretty good is good enough to necessarily back him to win a group here. So I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, I might just be like, okay, you know, just compare prices. I think I see Kitayama basically like 275, Meronk 350, Bezuidenhout 330. Maybe Meronk is worth a shot at 7-2 to win this group.
Kelly Bidlin, I have a bet in this one that I didn't tell you about, but I did take Kitayama to win group 10. Plus 323, actually, was what I was able to get on Kitayama here. And it's just a guy that, again, I'm betting the upside. I'm betting the head-to-head, the birdie, the potential that he has to go out there and score because of all of the skills that he possesses. Now, yes, he is volatile, but I'm embracing volatility in a match, in a contest like this, right? I mean, that's I'll embrace the volatility. I'll take the bad with the good. And if it's all bad, then so be it. And I'll just lose the bet here. But I did take Kitayama at plus 320 here.
Yeah, this is you guys are both zagging, it sounds like, and I'm zigging on this one. And zigging is, I went with Finau, and this was a price play for me. Got up to, I didn't end up firing on this until right before the show, actually, when I saw a plus 145, I think over at Circa is where I grabbed that at. I went in on that. I hear everything you guys are saying, and this is my smallest bet group winner, but I think this is the same kind of, you can make the same argument for almost all these guys. It's the volatility in Tony Finau's game. Well, okay, he's losing around the green in the past few tournaments. Again, if he's got to be playing that much around the green, he's probably in trouble anyways in most of these matchups. And then if, you know, the putter, right? We always talk about the putter with him. If he's putting bad, okay, we're probably gonna lose here. But if I can get a good putting week or a few good putting days out of him, I think he's far and above the best player in this group. So he's got the consistent approach stats. And that's kind of what I leaned on. So at first glance, this wasn't a bet for me. When I saw a plus 145, though, I finally did end up betting it. But again, smaller bet for me here.
All this means is Bezuidenhout's going to win the group is basically all. That's basically all that means right there. Mm-hmm. Group 11 was a group that I targeted heavily. When I saw that the one seed in this group was Matt Fitzpatrick, that was the group that I knew that I was going to go in and tackle hard. Now, it's Matt Fitzpatrick, it's Sahith Theegala, it is Minwoo Lee, and it is JJ Spaun. Matt Fitzpatrick is just not right now. There is something very, very wrong with him.
He's got a neck issue from what I've been reading.
Yeah, he is. There's something's just not right with him. So I think this is the easiest group for anyone to win, in my opinion. I have gone in. I took JJ Spaun plus 350 in a three-way matchup against Matt Fitzpatrick in round one. So listen, plus 350. And now if they tie, I lose the bet. But I mean, I will take the plus 350 on JJ Spaun against Matt Fitzpatrick in a head-to-head here in round one. I also have Minwoo Lee coming out of this group. I would be perfectly fine if you took Theegala to come out of this group, and I would be fine if you wanted to bet Lee and Theegala. To be honest with you, you would still make money if either one of them, if you just bet the same unit on that to come out of this group. But I think this one is super, super wide open, Kelly. And listen, Fitzpatrick is he's just not right now. Like if he was playing like he was, 18 months ago, then we wouldn't be having this conversation, but he's not. And there's something wrong. It's lingering. And it goes back to that other thing we were talking about as well, right? This is a lot of matches back to back and whatever. And so if he is dealing with an injury, it's only going to be worse that you're just playing boom, 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 boom like that. So give me anybody in this group other than Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I thought about that as well. This is the only problem is I couldn't narrow down who I really wanted to bet on to win the group. I agree with what you're saying, Matt. And to be honest, I didn't really think too much about doing something like that, of betting a Theegala and Minwoo Lee or something like that. But But I don't think I'm going to do that either, because I do think all three guys are live. I actually am on board with you with the Spawn matchup. I played that as well over Fitz in the first round. That's the only thing I did those so far. I think I'm just going to try to target him, you know, betting against him almost daily. Like, I think every matchup is probably going to be a bet against Fitzpatrick. And I mean, hey, if you win two out of those three, like, that's, you know, that's a pretty dang good week as far as that group's concerned. So, I am with you on that same matchup play, but I didn't do any, end up doing anything as far as anybody advancing from this group.
And Wes, we talk about these guys with volatility. I think the number one overall, the full on either Bryce Young or CJ Stroud of this would be Sahith Theegala over the last year and a half on tour. This is a guy, there's nobody on tour that can go from T40 to T5 or T5 to T70 like quicker than Sahith Theegala, because he really does have those holes where he will put an 8 on the board. Like, I mean, like, it is, or he can rattle off 5-6 birdies in a row, right? I mean, if you want to talk about volatility, he is the poster child for that, which, again, in an event like this, I kind of embrace and I kind of like.
Yeah, I mean, and he certainly, I think, is the danger man, even though he's not the one I bet. I did bet Minwoo Lee at 275 to come out of this group. He was 1-1-1 in his appearance last year, lost to Billy Horschel, did beat Thomas Peters, and tied Tom Hoagie, so he didn't advance out of the group. But you look at Minwoo, he doesn't have a lot of record as a professional, but he did win the 2016 U.S. Junior Amateur, only Australian ever to do so, in a match play. And he actually plays a lot of match play because he plays a decent amount in his home country of Australia, and there's a lot of match play events over there. So when you look at the record that I like had in my column where it's like, okay, 1-1-1 for Minwoo Lee, he's got a lot more experience than that in match play. So I thought Minwoo Lee was an attractive option here. He seems to like match play. I thought he played very well at the Players. I know he slipped a little back from the top of contention there on Sunday, but Minwoo also it can be kind of erratic, like Sahith Theegala can be absolutely boom or bust, but I'm thinking he's boom here. I went plus 275.
Yeah, I actually have Minwoo as well in the account. I was able to find a 290 out there. Group 12, Jordan Spieth, Shane Lowry, Taylor Montgomery, Mackenzie Hughes, Wes. What a group this is, because we have every type of player, every type of personality, every type of everything going on here.
We do. And look, Jordan Spieth, I know people are going to gravitate toward him because obviously this is Austin Country Club and he played at the University of Texas at Austin. But if you look at his record, 10-7-3, not bad, but not great. You would think it would be like a Kevin Kisner type of record based on the fact that the local angle. Shane Lowry, surprisingly, in match play has just been dreadful.
Yeah.
If you look at his record, 7-16-3, 2-7-3 here. Mack Hughes, you know what Mack Hughes is. Mack Hughes is one of the better putters out there. But he is actually matched in this group by, I think, one of the elite putters on the PGA Tour. And that is who I went with, and I went with Taylor Montgomery, the rookie, at 3-1 to go ahead and get out of this group. And there's going to be, I think, a couple of those guys, so I guess why not Montgomery?
Yep.
And if you look at a guy that can make a lot of birdies, that can make 25-footers to save pars, Taylor Montgomery can absolutely do that. He's actually statistically the best putter in the field. He kills it on the par fives. He hits it a mile off the tee. He's actually a local here in Las Vegas. His dad, Monty, the GM over at Shadow Creek. So, you know, I know Austin Country Club, I talked about the fact that it mitigates distance, but he's always going to be away. He's going to outdrive everybody in this group. And sometimes when a guy does that, Matt, you mentioned the psychology of this event earlier, when a guy's just bombing it past you, it's like, man, this kid's just killing me. You know, you're going to start to feel that. So I didn't think that there was like a really great favorite in this group. So I thought Taylor Montgomery at 3-1, absolutely worth a shot.
I also am well too. I'm on Taylor Montgomery in this group. It seems like we're gonna have a good couple of days, Wes, or we're gonna have a bad couple of days together, it seems, in this one. I also, to me, look, this the skill set that he possesses, I will play the upside here. I kind of know what I have in Spieth, right? I kind of know what I have in Lowry. I do want to see what it looks like him getting out there and doing what he does and you know, going head to head against some of these other guys. So I also, the price to me was just a little bit too long. I didn't get as good as you. Mine was a little bit less than that. I think it was 289 or something like that. But I do have Taylor Montgomery in this group as well. What about you, Kelly?
Well, bravo to you, gentlemen. I really hope you both win your bets, but I hope he loses the first round matchup because I bet Shane Lowry.
All right.
In the way that I'm using this is there. I think the match play records can be extremely useful in multiple ways. Where I think I'm getting a cheap price on a first round matchup on Shane Lowry because of that against Taylor Montgomery. I hear what you guys are saying on the upside of Montgomery. I think Lowry is just, I think he's a well-established, better all-around player. The only thing I think, what's probably held him back in some of the match play stuff is what you guys have talked about with some of the mentality of some of these players. Shane Lowry, kind of one of those more laid-back guys too. I think that might have something to do with it. But when I got a minus 112 in a first-round matchup over Montgomery on him. That was too cheap of a price for me to pass up. I understand where you guys are coming from the group play, but for that first-round matchup, I did go Lowry over him.
Group number 13, Sam Burns, Seamus Power, Adam Scott, and Adam Hadwin. I was, as Wes was talking about a little bit earlier, I had players in mind that I was either going to look to back or look to fade whenever the groups came out. Burns being one of the fades for me right now. There's something wrong with his game. Despite the decent showing this past week, it still was very, very much not a Sam Burns performance this past week. He's in a group with Seamus Power, Adam Scott, and Adam Hadwin. Wes, could this be one of those groups where the four seed, if we will, could come out of there? Could Adam Hadwin be the guy that we should be looking at here in group 13?
I absolutely think he can. Mm-hmm. I have not bet this yet, but I intend to bet Adam Hadwin, actually. And you mentioned about Sam Burns. He, along with Fitzpatrick, are, based on the prices, the weakest favorites in their group here in group play. And yeah, with Burns, I think he's doing some equipment changes as well. He's been really erratic. I mean, I think he was good last week at the Valspar, and that's why I don't want to put too much stock into that because obviously he was the back-to-back champion. Mm-hmm. So course form, you're going to know some things, and that can kind of make up for maybe if he got some swing issues or whatever it is. But he has not been able to drive the ball really very well. He's been kind of all over the place. Adam Scott could win this group, but going out of the round of 16 is about as far as I think he would go. Seamus Power's under that gun right now to try to get on that Ryder Cup team, like I was talking about with a couple of these European players like Victor Perez. Seamus Power's under the gun too, and he did not play well in Florida on the Florida swing at all. So by default for me, a guy that's been playing pretty consistent golf to start the year, Adam Hadwin at 3-1 is where I'm going to likely go.
Yeah, Kelly, we look at group 13, and if we talk about there's only one player over the last 24 rounds that has gained across the board, that is Adam Hadwin, who has gained in every single statistical category over the last 24 rounds. Cannot be said about Scott, cannot be said about Power, and certainly cannot be said about Burns either. So if you kind of look at the guy who's coming in with, you know, the best form as well, it would be Adam Hadwin.
Yeah, this is maybe the number one group I was waiting to. I wanted to hear what you guys had to say about it because Hadwin was the guy that I circled too, where I think this is, you know, Burns, you laid it out well, Matt. I think there is the one thing I want to bring up real quick, if that's the, I don't know, how are we going to talk about Burns going forward though, when we're going to mention, like when we look at the Valspar next week or next year, like, this is going to be, he was in the midst of playing his worst golf that we've seen in a long time and still managed to finish that high at that event. I think that's something for us all to take note of for next year. But it's one event. I'm not going to read too much into it. Again, we know he plays that well. So I immediately, this was a circle to look elsewhere on the board. I don't really know why Hadwin would be priced longer than the other two guys in this group. So that was the one. I'm exactly in Wes's shoes. I had not made this bet yet because I kind of wanted to hear what your guys' thoughts were on it, but it sounds like I'll be adding it to my portfolio.
Yeah, I like having in that group a good bit. Group 14, Tyrrell Hatton, Russell Henley, Lucas Herbert, and then Ben Griffin. This was one where, look, if you take a look at just the skill sets alone in this group, look, Tyrrell Hatton is there. We're not going to doubt the skill set that comes along with Tyrrell Hatton. I mean, the guy is just absolutely super, super highly skilled. But you do wonder from the mental aspect, we know that this guy can get hot. We know that this guy can kind of lose it out there with all of this. That being said, you do look at Tyrrell Hatton here, and he kind of a little bit under the radar. He has come out of group play three times already in this tournament. So he has made it out of his group three different times at the history of this thing. And so got a little bit better than I think maybe we give him credit for. That said, I do not have a bet in this group, Kelly. I don't know what you made of it. It was, you know, Ben Griffin always pops in the models and all that stuff. And like, but it's just, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I can pull the trigger on him in a head to head contest. So I don't know. What did you do with group 14?
Tyrrell Hatton is one of my favorite players in this event. He is the guy that I am the most heavily invested in. I have a bet for a larger bet on him to win. This is where I know we complain about some of the Vegas books sometimes, but we do get some off numbers that. Like I was able to jump on a +170 to win this group on him. I have a pretty large bet on that. And he is one of two guys that I bet an outright on 25 to 1. I did get invested in Hatton. I really like him this week, playing well, heading into this tournament. Like you said, Matt, he is kind of, I think still with people flying under the radar, maybe a little bit, but second at the Players, fourth at the API, 40th at the Genesis, sixth at the Waste Management Phoenix Open before that. I think he's been playing really well since he's kind of transitioned over to the States. As you mentioned, he has gotten out of these groups multiple times before in this event. Hatton's probably my favorite player of the week. So I'm invested all around with him.
Wes, what say you there on group 14?
Yeah, ditto for me. I'm on Tyrrell Hatton outright and also to win the group. 9-6-2 in this event. Really good in Pete Dye Designs. And as you mentioned, Matt, 3 out of 4 times he has advanced to the round of 16. He's also, he's had a match with Roy, essentially what turned into a match play a couple years ago at the Abu Dhabi, where he fended off Rory McIlroy when Rory McIlroy was number one in the world. 4 top 10s and 6 starts. And look, he's starting to get a little bit of support in the draw. The only other guy maybe you consider is Russell Henley, because I don't think he's as bad as his record indicates, because he's never lost a match. Because I put in my column this week, too, like margin of holes that guys were either up or down in these matches. And it was really minuscule, despite the fact that Russell Henley, by the way, I think he's 2-6-1 here. But he's only lost by a total of 2 holes in those 9 matches. He's never lost a match more than 2-1. He's never really been boat raced here, is what I'm saying. He's never lost like 8-7 or 7-6 or something like that. So Henley's record is better. Maybe consider that in some of the other matches other than Tyrrell Hatton in this group. Ben Griffin obviously can get really hot with the putter and has been lately. Lucas Herbert's kind of been nowheresville really to start the year here. I didn't know, because he played in that Saudi event over on the Asian tour to start the year that we won with Abraham Answer, and I thought, okay, this guy's going to live. He hasn't gone yet, so you know that plays in these guys' minds a little bit, I think. So no thanks for me on Lucas Herbert. Yeah, this is all Tyrrell Hatton for me.
Oh baby, boys, you know what we got to do, right? We gotta crank it back out again.
Pod play.
Yes. Tyrrell Hatton for me as well. Tyrrell, it is.
Wow, I like to hear this.
Yeah, Tyrrell Hatton for me as well. Listen, like I said, it's just you go and you look, and he not only does he have like good match play stuff that we like and all, but like he's playing really, really well right now. Like, I mean, his game is in top form right now, maybe one of the better forms of all of the guys that are coming into this tournament right now. I mean, he's doing every single thing well. The only thing he's losing is only 0.16 is around the green over the last 24 rounds. But again, like we're saying,
toss it out.
We're not really worried about it. Like if you're not winning the hole, like I want you to win the holes, right? I mean, if you're having to like up and downs, like we're not worried about that right now. Like, I don't care about what you're doing with the pars and things. So
yeah, the only guy in this field that worried. Yeah. The only guy in this field I'm maybe worried about chipping out on me, you know, consistently would be a Jordan Spieth, right? So like that's like, otherwise I'm tossing that all. I do want to circle back just real quick today. Wes, I think you're all over it with Russell Henley. I was surprised, I think, how much I ended up liking Hatton, because I thought Henley was going to pop more until I kind of had seen what his approach numbers had kind of looked like recently, where really that's the strength of his game. So yeah, it's. I hear you. I might end up playing him in some of the other matchups as the days go on. But no, Hatton, I love in this event and in this group.
Group 15, Cam Young, Sepp Straka, Corey Connors, and Davis Thompson. If we take a look right here, Cam Young is your betting favorite, but close behind is Corey Connors in this group. Corey Connors having some success here over the years. I couldn't pull the trigger. This group, I have absolutely nothing in group 15. Wes, I don't know if you have anybody here, but this was just kind of a pass for me. Cam Young hadn't done anything to really make me be inspired to bet him. Sepp Straka's just kind of meh. Corey Connors, we know what he's all about. So I don't know. I couldn't get there. Did you get anything in group 15?
I do, but before I reveal who it is, I am excited at least for the short-term future for one Cameron Young, who hasn't been great lately, but news, of course, broke yesterday that he's going to have a new man on the bag, and that is Paul Tesori, who is the longtime caddy for Webb Simpson. They've been together forever. Webb Simpson apparently wanting to play a little bit less, and you know, even though he had a top 10 last week, by the way, at the Valspar, first one he's had in a while, Webb Simpson encouraged Tesori, said, hey, go with a better player, a younger player. It kind of reminded me maybe a little bit of the Ted Scott, Bubba Watson thing where Ted Scott went with Scottie Scheffler, and all of a sudden that's what he needed, and it just clicked. I think it could happen for Cam Young. I'm not quite convinced like this is the week where you got a caddy on your debut here, match play totally different. But I think Cam Young is going to get in the winner's circle probably within the next 2 or 3 months. I'd be surprised if it took that long. But in terms of this group, I did bet Corey Connors to win this group. I also bet him on an outright kind of as a dark horse. I got him actually at 80-1. You could get him probably around in the mid 60s, I think, right now is where I've seen him at least here in town. But Corey Connors, look, is his lone win on the PGA Tour is in Texas. And we see this guy every week when we model. He's always up there on approach and greens and regulation gained and all the ball striking and sometimes can't make a putt to save his life. But he's won here in the state of Texas before. He's very good on Pete Dye designs. Good finishes at the RBC Heritage. Has a seventh at the Players. Has a fourth at Harbortown. So this is a guy, just the ball striking, I think is just so good for Corey Connors. And of course, he made a deep run here last year, beat Alex Noren and Louis Oosthuizen in the group. And that is no small feat because those guys are two very good match play players. Beat Abraham, I think it was Kanaya in the round of 16, then beat Abraham Answer in the round of 8 before he lost to Kevin Kisner. And then came out, though, I was impressed, you know, and maybe it was DJ wasn't interested because he couldn't win. But he kicked DJ's butt in the third place match. So Corey Connors is a guy that I think is a pretty good gamer here. I like Cam Young long term, but I like Connors this week. Sepp Straka has not really found his form this year. Davis Thompson, a rookie in the event. Davis Thompson's almost like a poor man's Cameron Young, where he just bombs it off the tee. But I don't think has the complete game that Cameron Young does yet. So Corey Connors, for me, the third pod in this group, I believe number 40 in the OWGR.
Kelly, if we take a look at group 15, Corey Connors, we talk about the psychological aspect of it, though. Like, if he's on, if you're playing the guy head to head, it's probably got to be pretty deflating when he's just like dropping it 8 feet from the cup every, like, it's like over and over and over and over. You're like, this guy has another friggin' birdie putt. Like, like, you know, it's like, so there is that too that comes with Corey Connors, where it's kind of like, you know, even if he's not making all these birdie putts, you're just kind of like, Jesus Christ, this guy's got another friggin' birdie putt. You know, so like there is that that goes into it too.
Yeah. I hear you guys. This is the one group I had to eventually move on. It was the paralysis by over analysis where I thought I was all in. I was all in on Connors and I was all in on Cameron Young. And I was like, okay, guess what? Those are the top two of this group. And the other two guys, I think are far below those two, but I didn't get involved in any first round matchups in this one. I didn't get involved in any group winner in this one.
Group 16, our final group, Sung J.M., Tommy Fleetwood, JT Poston, and Mav McNeely. A very interesting group here. Kelly, we know what Sung J.M. is all about. Like, Sung J.M. at his best can compete with just about anybody. But now we have Tommy Fleetwood coming off of a very good showing. Starting to kind of looks like maybe Tommy Fleetwood's figuring some things out. Maybe he's starting to put some stuff together. We talk about our models and, you know, we all run models, do whatever. For whatever reason, Mav McNeely always seems to pop in our models and always seems to find his way to the top, despite the fact that he does lose in multiple categories whenever you kind of start to run the different things like that. So super interesting group here with Sungjae with a lifetime record of 5-6. Tommy Fleetwood with a lifetime match play record of 11-10-3. Then you got 1-1-1 for JT Poston, and then 2-0-1 for Mab McNeely.
Yeah, this would be, I didn't end up doing, this is another one I didn't end up doing anything with. It would be Sungjae or pass for me here. I hear you on Fleetwood, but this is, I think it's Sungjae. The problem is he continues to string together all these turns, but even, wasn't he another guy that complained about back pain or something a week or two ago? Because he keeps playing all these dang events. So I don't know, I couldn't get through a bet on him, but I think still at the numbers that are listed, I think it would, for me, it would be him or pass for this group.
Well, I thought this was one of the tougher groups, yeah, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Wes. It's like nobody really jumps off the page here, and I think the odds kind of dictate that too.
Yeah, look, Sungjae M, I think, is the best player of the four. Tommy Fleetwood, look, he was right in the mix at the Valspar, didn't get it done. And I do think that that could kind of get in your head, because we know that Tommy Fleetwood is at least a top 25 to 30 player in the world. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, based on what he's done on the DP World Tour, but he's never won on the PGA Tour. And I think that that does kind of get to him, the fact that he has not yet won on American soil. So now you got to rebound from that and play in this totally different format. And then, JT Poston, just not a lot of experience in this event. Mav McNeely is interesting, but he's been out for a little bit with an injury. So, you know, you can worry about the fitness. By the way, Maverick McNeely went 2-0-1. I actually lost a group bet on him last year. He went 2-0-1 in his group and didn't advance because Kevin Na, who he halved with in the second match, the Thursday match, beat him in a playoff hole. But Maverick McNeely beat Joaquin Neiman 8-6 last year. And this is when Joaquin Neiman was in really good form when we hit on him at the Genesis. And then also beat Russell Henley 2-1. So McNeely is always one of those interesting guys because he can get hot with the putter. He's one of the best putters in the world, but he loses in other areas if he could just put it all together. Because I bet this guy a lot thinking, man, this guy's got the goods. This guy's going to win. And he hasn't done it as of yet, but I can make a case for or against pretty much everybody here. So this is probably a stay away. Maybe I get involved in individual matchups, but no group prop for me.
We don't have DFS here in Nevada. You could drive to the border if you wanted to. I'm just not going to do it. That being said, this is one of the best tournaments for golf DFS there possibly is, because about 15 to 20% of the field will just put in dead lineups. So they will put in guys, they'll put in three guys from the same group and things like that and whatever. So if you're playing DFS this week, just be smart about building your lineups, and you're automatically going to be ahead of the of 20% of the field out there, because they don't make their lineups optimally. Just make sure that you're not putting same guys from same groups and guys that are going to run into each other immediately and all of that stuff. You're trying to maximize how many guys you can get to the final eight. So that's how you go about all of that. So be sure and look at the bracket. If you're playing one and done this week, 3.5 million to first place, 2.2 to second, 1.4 to third, and then 1.1 to fourth. Kelly Bidlin, one and done this week. Where are you looking?
My boy Ty Ty Hatton. I don't think anybody was going to get the Ty Ty reference. So.
Yeah. You're like, Hatton. I guess I better go ahead and say what his name is, because yes, I don't know if anyone.
I'm just making up nicknames. So yeah, Hatton.
Is that going to get this? What you looking at, Wes? One and done this week.
I'm going to go, I think I've used Gantley already. I'm going to go Jason Day.
So I actually have five different entries, and they are split between the two guys that you guys just mentioned. So I have Tyrrell Hatton and Jason Day split between my entries this week on the one and done. Look, you probably already used Scheffler as it is anyway. You probably already used Rory. If you haven't, I'm not going to talk you off. I mean, still 3.5 million for first place. I'm not going to talk you off the ledge, but there's a lot of variance in this. Just remember, Scottie Scheffler could shoot 8 under in a round, but if the guy mm-hmm. he's playing against shoots 9 under, he loses. It doesn't matter. There's everything depends on the other guy as opposed to how good you are. So just remember the variance that does come into that as well whenever you're playing this event.
Yeah, I mean, he could go 8 under in the first round and 1 under the next two rounds and not get out of the group, right? Yes. I mean, that's the type of event we're talking.
And keep in mind, you guys listening here, you're going to get some like rough beats. Like I talked about with Maverick McNeely, where I thought he's the best guy in the group and he loses on that extra hole to Kevin Na. Yeah. Whereas like, man, he was 2-0-1 and he didn't get out of the group. And then you're like 1-1-1 and playing mediocre and you get a guy get out of the group. So you get a lot of randomness in this event.
Absolutely. Guys, again, one thing you could do absolutely free to support this show, just go ahead and hit the pause button, head down below, give us a 5-star rating, leave us a little review in there as well. That does help us climb the charts and more people can find this very here podcast. I do appreciate all the support with all that. You can head over to VSiN.com to get Wes's written write-up of everything going on. And of course, if you aren't already a subscriber, you can get a free trial over there to check things out as well. Follow us on the Twitter. And of course, go ahead and fire off any questions for next week. And we will try to get to as many of those that benefit the masses as humanly possible. For Kelly, for Wes, I'm Matt. Good luck at the match play.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.